I'm gonna take you to Detroit Rock City, avoiding all toll roads.
Woo!
Calculating! $500 to the motorway! Are you ready to turn right?
Yeah.
Just lost you! Rock on! Wow!
Podcast Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me is Mr. Jody Havnot.
Hey, Happy New Year, everybody.
And also with us today is D-Rock.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Yes, Happy New Year. I hope, you know, we haven't really talked since Christmas or right before Christmas.
Right.
And I hope everybody's was good. Mine was good. I had some really great times. I got some cool presents. I'll break them down for you. from my girl and my kid, and you know, what'd you guys do? Did you just family stuff?
That's all we did.
Yeah, that's the best way. That's what it's about. All right, so New Year. Before we get started, let me give you my little PSA. PodcastRockCity.com. Don't forget that we have a premium section on there. It's just 99 cents a month, or $9.99 for the year, and that gives you. Jody and I and D-Rock and whoever else is on the show, we're doing extra stuff, sticking it on the website, and you could go and listen to it. I've been getting emails from people, too, going, hey, this is some fun stuff, you know. And so our regular show that you're hearing now is always going to be free, but you can help us pay our bills, and there are some bills for doing this, you know, just by signing up. Go to PodcastRockCity.com. And click on it stuff and anyway. All right, so I got some great presents, you know, Kiss related stuff. First of all, my son gave me it's a bootleg Kiss clock.
Oh yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, it's a bootleg clock? So does that mean it doesn't keep official time?
No. What I mean is it's not real Kiss merchandise.
I'm just fucking with you, bro.
I know. Okay, good. Okay, so it has all these little squares around it, and you can pop the squares out. So somebody took the squares out, put in Kiss record pictures, covers, you know?
Cool.
So, you know, around it, so that's cool. And then the center of the clock, they took a picture of Kiss and put it on there, and there you go. You have a Kiss clock, which, you know, I think is pretty awesome.
That is pretty awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
Our buddy Clinton, dude, he has one that someone made him one out of the, you know, like the certificate that came in double platinum.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Someone, like, made that into a clock. It's hanging on Clinton's wall. Sorry to that interrupt, but I just figured I'd tell
okay.
you about
That's
it 'cause
all.
It's cool.
Man, you know, you guys out there listening, if you want to send us an email about what you got for Christmas from your family or friends or whatever, and or whoever, and, you know, Kiss stuff, send it to Podcast Rock City 1.
That's the number one.
At gmail.com. All right. Okay. Also, and I got Karen, my girlfriend, who always pays attention when I talk on this show and I mention things that I want or whatever. She puts it in her little Rolodex brain, which is way smarter than any brain I've ever been around, except when it comes to math. I'm kidding. And she's an accountant. That's why I said that. And she made sure. Okay. So she got me. The Kiss Las Vegas Live double album.
Cool.
Nice.
It came with the DVD. That was really nice of her. Her parents wanted to get me a gift, so she set me up again perfectly. Last year, they asked, what do we get, Joe? They got me Kiss Alive 3 on album, you know, on vinyl.
Sweet.
This year, she hooked it up, and they got me Kiss Live at the Ritz. I think it was 1988.
That's awesome.
And it's a double album as well, which I've never seen. Obviously, it's like there's even like I think it's right off the radio, you know, the recording. There's even like a DJ at one little point saying this is blah 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 from blah 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 radio, you know,
yeah.
Which is still kind of cool.
So it's Crazy Nights tour.
Yeah, Eric Carr.
Yeah, I have one of those from Japan. That's killer. Same time frame.
Oh, that's so awesome. And then she got me, you know, if you listen to the show frequent enough, you'll hear me talk about 16 magazines. She got me four or five new 16 magazines that I didn't have.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then she got me two Rolling Stone magazines from the 70s where Kiss is interviewed. And I have yet to break into those yet.
Rolling Stone, huh?
Yeah, man, I'm going to get into that, and that'll be, you know, I'm going to find one of the articles, and then we'll do a show on it, because it'll be awesome.
That is kind of interesting. I never knew there was any articles in Rolling Stone about
Kiss. I didn't know it either. And then I decided one day, I was like, Google, you know, there had to have been something at least that said, this band sucks, I can't stand them, blah, 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 you know? So I haven't broke into them yet, but Gene, in his book, mentions doing an interview with a guy from Rolling Stone at his apartment. And he said that this guy, you know, he was all demoned out. His hair was puffed up. He's wearing the spider stuff, and the guy's at the apartment, and he's all acting all tough and badass. And then all of a sudden there was a knock at the door, and it was his mom. And Gene's mom showed up with, like, cake and food and was feeding them and, eat, boys, eat, you know?
Yeah, poor.
Yeah. I was like, that's pretty funny.
It's great.
Anyway, so, all right. I always talk about what I got for, what I get for Christmas and my birthdays.
It's all good. The only thing I got for Christmas, kiss-wise, was a Gene Simmons Christmas tree ornament.
Hey, it counts.
There you
go. Well, my mom said she was trying to find others, you know, but they didn't have any more of the other band. All they had was, like, two or three left of Gene, so she snagged one.
It's always you know.
Yeah. Works for me.
Yeah, absolutely. What about you? What about you, Joe? You get anything for Christmas?
No Kiss stuff, no.
No, well, that's okay.
Yeah, it's all good.
Okay. let's see. You picked the topic today.
Podcast Rock City. Topic of the week.
Tell everybody what it is.
Well, I figured maybe we could talk about Wicked Lester, something we never really talk about here at the show.
Yeah.
I don't think that we have ever had this conversation.
No, I don't think we have.
About Wicked Lester and the record, you know, that they made and it never came out.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very important record in a way, because without this, you wouldn't have had Kiss, most likely, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they looked at this band and realized what they wanted to do differently, you know, which became Kiss. So, I mean, you kind of have to have Wicked Lester to have Kiss. So it is important. Oh. Not that I'm a huge fan of it or anything, but I am kind of a fan of the time and the history of it. But musically, maybe not so much. But anyways, we'll talk about that as we go.
We will talk about that. I think I'm going to surprise everybody. So I went ahead and Wikipedia'd it, okay? All right. It says... that they were, their origins New York City, the genre is rock and roll, folk rock and pop. I agree with every one of those.
Yeah.
You know, every one of those little things there. That says that they were on Epic, and the past members are Paul Stanley, Gene Simmons, Brooke Ostrander. I can't say that guy's name.
Ostrander, yeah.
Stephen Cornell, Joe Davidson, Tony Zarella, and Ron Lejak. They were also called Rainbow.
Yeah. Way before, like, Richie Blackmore's Rainbow.
It's interesting that you said that, how they said that, it said folk music. Because I had made a comment in my notes about how a lot of their music kind of reminded me a lot of, like, the Mama and the Papas, you know, or, like, something you'd see coming from, like, the Easy Rider soundtrack era.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, first of all, I want to say that their sound, to me, totally fits the time period that they were writing.
Oh, you know, yeah, definitely.
When they, if they would have put this record out right then, it would have fit in amazingly, I think. Yeah. As I started listening, because and in full disclosure here, I never heard the record until today.
Really?
I don't know why. I just never had this urge to go listen to Wicked Lester. I don't know why. I'm a Kiss fan. I want to listen to Kiss. But now that I've listened to it, you know, I was like, wow. I even caught myself, like, bobbing along and listening. I was really surprised, you know.
Yeah.
But it is Paul and Gene writing music, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's like you go back and you listen to the Wicked Lester album. You know, it kind of gives you more of a different respect and a different outlook on Kiss's music. You know, because I mean, you get to see how their sound progressed. You know, and like what their sound was and how it just kind of like transformed. You know,
totally.
Because I mean, a lot of this, like on a couple of the songs in there, I mean, you can definitely tell that Paul wrote them because I mean, it sounds a lot like the music that you hear off his solo album.
Right, right. You know? Yeah. I felt that way too. You know, I just wasn't real disappointed. You know, there were a couple of songs out of the bunch that we listened to that I was like, I can, you know, love them or leave those. But the first, I would say five, I really liked.
I think the ones that like Gene and Paul wrote are pretty decent for what they are. I don't really care for a lot of those weird, like, I don't know, Jackson 5 type covers.
Songs like Too Many Mondays.
Yeah, some of them are a little much, but...
Which ones were covers?
Let's see here. The Sweet Ophelia is a cover. Too Many Mondays. It was on a record at the time. It was written by Barry Mann, I think. And it was on a record. I can't remember the name. And what other ones? Too Many Mondays is also a Barry Mann song. And What Happens in the Darkness is a cover. When the Bell Rings, obviously, when we want to shout it out loud. So basically, you have Lover All I Can is Paul. Keep Me Waiting's Paul. Simple Type's Gene. She, obviously, Gene and Cornell. And Long, Long Road, which is kind of like a bonus track, I guess you'd say. That's a Paul one. Oh, and Molly. So it's like those are the good ones, in my opinion, because a lot of the other ones are a little bit too... I read somewhere that it might have been What Happens in the Darkness was originally written for the Jackson 5 or some shit.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's like I get what they were trying to do. They were trying to show that they were, you know, they could write and they could do killer covers of the time, I guess. But what I was thinking, though, is if... You know, if Kiss would have stayed sounding just like this, the critics would have fucking loved them, dude. Like, they would have been a Rolling Stone band, you know? Like, because they sound like...
Oh, easily.
It's like Three Dog Night or any of those, all that, like, early 70s kind of shit that the Ramones finally killed off, you know, a little bit later on down the line, but...
Yeah. You know, one of the things, like, listening to She...
Yeah. So what do you think of those flutes and shit?
Man, yeah. Did I hear tubas at one point?
It might have.
Like tubas in the breakdown of the, you
and
know.
Like maracas and shit.
Congas,
you know?
And flutes and like.
You know, I just didn't think it was bad. It was
no,
one of those.
It's not so bad.
Where you're going, man, you know, I'm glad Kiss didn't do it this way. I'm glad they didn't do it this way. But I am glad that this is out there because it shows.
Transformation.
Yeah, not only that, it shows, you know, some style, you know, like
some funkiness.
There's a lot of funkiness involved in a bunch of these songs, yeah. Man.
Just shows how much out of the box that they really can think, you know, when it comes to.
You know what I think that it shows more than anything else, though?
What?
As far as like She and Lover All I Can, it shows just how important Ace Frehley is, you know, because geez Louise, if you listen to what's there on the Wicked Lester, I mean, it's nothing compared to what Ace would do and did.
You know, you start listening to it, and that's the piece that's missing.
Totally.
It's like it's almost like if Ace had been in that band, it might have been more tolerable.
Oh yeah,
you know that. No, for them, for Paul and Gene, they might have gone.
Yeah, well, they did dump Cornell, and that's when they got that, what was the other guy's name? I can't think of his name, but yeah, Cornell, not so great, I guess.
Now, is he the one playing on this record?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because Paul's not doing leads, it's Cornell. You know, he can write a good song. He's written some great co-writes with Gene, but I don't think his leads even come close to Ace Frehley. Not even close.
I think he'll be writing music for a long time.
That too, but you know what I'm saying, just objectively looking at his work, he's no Ace Frehley.
Yeah, no, but I mean, not as playing-wise, but you know, Gene and him and Gene, they got together and wrote some good songs.
Yeah, I mean, She, Going Blind, What else?
It's so weird. It's so weird to watch these interviews, though, where, you know, there's 50. This is the biggest problem with Kiss as a fan that I come across, is that there's really no like solid history. It's like, on one hand, Cornell's saying, you know, I left the band or whatever, and you know, and the other, you know, it's Gene or, you know, Paul right. saying the company said we had to get rid of him, you know, and it was Gene's job to do it, and all these stories about, you know, there's really no solid.
There's too many different sides to the story. There's not one solid story of what happened or why.
Yeah. When Paul's talking about Wicked Lester in his book, you know, he's super excited about it, you know?
Yeah.
This is going to change his life. And then, you know, Gene and him, they, you know, at one point they just go, you know, this isn't the direction that we want to go in. And I'm thinking, didn't he know this like 8 months ago?
Well, at the time, he was just excited to be recording an Electric Lady and having their own rehearsal space and fucking making a record for Epic, you know?
Yeah, I guess so.
I just don't think they were focused. I love that story, though, in the book, like right before Cornell gets canned, where he's like, him and Paul got into it, and he's like, you think you're so special? And Paul's like, actually, I do. He's like, I got an aura. Cornell's like, you think you've got an aura? And Gene's like, he's right. He does. I thought that was hilarious in the book.
Yeah, I thought so, too. And I was like, you know, I'm listening to that and going...
He did, though. Paul. I mean, he knew it. He was right.
He knew it. He knew it was up. Yeah. Yep. He had more drive, than, you know, in his pinky toe than I have in my whole body.
Right. I mean, Paul Stanley at that age was relentlessly in his, like, pursuit of rock and roll stardom. And he finally got there not much later, you know?
It was quick. You know, if I had the drive that Paul Stanley has, or I'm sure he still has it. You know, good Lord, the things I would have accomplished in my life by now. Everybody should use him as a role model.
Totally.
He saw a goal and he went for it and he got it and didn't give up until he got it. I mean, he's telling stories, you know, and I know this is off the subject, but this is still when they're young and they're, you know, just after Wicked Lester, you know, where they're looking for a guitar player. They hitchhiked, yeah. You know, in the snow and the rain and everything. It's just like, let me tell you. Okay, first of all, I guess if I had to do it that way, I probably could have, but I would have. I don't think I have that kind of drive. And number two, this is sad about me now that I'm thinking about it. And, you know, it's like sleeping on the floor in place. You know, I hear that kind of stuff about like Guns N' Roses, you know, where they would go into the house and there'd be pizza boxes empty with lyrics written on them. Yeah. And, you know,
speaking of like, GNR, dude, have you seen that new little documentary? It's like, it's a little bit before they reunited, man. It was on the BBC.
Haven't seen it.
It's called The Most Dangerous Band in the World or something, dude. I'll Dropbox it to you.
Okay.
It's badass. Sorry to get us off subject, but it's really cool.
Do they mention Kiss at all?
They do. Of course Steven mentions Kiss, dude, when he met Slash.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he talks about doing all his Kiss poses and stuff.
You know, I was listening back to Paul's book about the Wicked Lester era and wrote down a couple hilarious things. Like, it's just funny that it was like the first gigs they did, man, it was Paul's first time getting crabs.
Yeah.
And he was all proud of it.
He's like, from the toilet.
Yeah, of course.
Whatever, Paul.
Save some face there, star child. But yeah, he was all proud of it. And then it disgusted his parents, like made him so proud. It's totally cool.
I mean, he describes it too, where he looks down in his junk and he sees all these things crawling all over him, and I want to throw up, dude.
Yeah, it's a little bit descriptive, but still, it's funny. It's also Paul's first time that he ever saw cocaine in the studio.
Oh yeah,
for Wicked Lester. Yeah,
that's right.
He's like, wow. And then their whole loft got robbed, and that was kind of like what the birth of Kiss in a way, you know. What did they call it? They had a name for that damn... The Wicked Lester rehearsal space. I can't remember what it was called. Oh, wait. It was called Tenderwood. And because said it would like go up like tender if there was ever a fire. And yeah, so it gets robbed. And they kind of put the brakes on Wicked Lester. That's when Gene and Paul decided they wanted to do what was going to be the antithesis of Wicked Lester. And you know, we all know what that became.
The hottest band in the world, Kiss!
Yeah, thank goodness.
So cool, though.
If it wasn't for that, I'd be sitting in a room full of Star Wars memorabilia.
Bon Jovi posters everywhere or something.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah, you have that poster of Bon Jovi with the purple spandex pants with the brown leather jacket with the fringe.
So let's think about this, though. Let's go back and let's do some history here, okay? So the place gets robbed. They decide when their place gets robbed, we are going to start a new band, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they get the new rehearsal space at 10 East 23rd.
Right. So think about the history that came afterwards. If we don't have the robbery, we don't have Motley Crue. If we don't have the robbery, we don't have Poison. If we don't have the robbery, we don't have, name another one.
Millions of other bands.
See, think about this.
You don't have the robbery, you don't have a podcast right now.
Yeah. And I'm sitting here talking about the fact that Carrie Fisher died.
Yeah. Which really does suck, man.
It does.
I love
suck.
Leia so much.
Yes. Let's I haven't seen the new movie path. Yet.
I haven't either. I'm not going to see it again at the theater, dude.
I'm not on DVD. I don't go to theaters anymore because of my leg.
You know, I like to go to a movie like that in the theater, but when I went to the last one, what was it, Force Awakens or whatever?
Yeah.
I left there so pissed because it's like this: the sound sucked, the fucking projectionist, it wasn't, you couldn't see anything, it just sucked, man, it ruined the whole movie for me.
Yeah.
The last Star Wars movie I was at a theater to see was when me and Jody went to go see The Phantom Menace. We were tripping and I was laughing my ass off of that Jar Jar Binks character.
That reminds me, I had something I wanted to share with you. Clint Wells sent us an email and it says, "Hey guys, just wanted to say thanks for another year of Podcast Rock City. I laughed so hard a few episodes back during the Christmas sledding story that I almost wrecked."
Clint Wells, huh? Right on. Hey, what's up, Clint? Clint has a new Metallica podcast.
Yes, he does. Yes,
that's awesome, man.
Totally we'll awesome. Talk about that. We'll talk about that a little bit. Actually, it's
Clint,
in my
you gotta
email
send
right
us
here.
A commercial, bro. We'll put it at the end of our shit.
Yeah. It says, "Me and my buddy started Metallica podcast this week. The first handful of episodes are available. Thanks for the inspiration to start my own podcast about a band I love." Man, I can't even believe if Clint's being honest there, we inspired him to start a podcast. That's amazing. It says, it's called Metal Up Your Podcast, obviously from Metal Up Your Ass. Mm-hmm. And you can find it at the link below if you're interested. And I will be listening to it.
Yeah, me too. I plan on listening to it later tonight, actually.
Yeah, pretty cool. So you guys out there, if you like Metallica and Kiss, there's always room.
Oh, yeah.
There's always room.
I actually love the new Metallica record, man.
Still haven't listened to any of it.
Dude, if you listen to nothing else, you just got to put on that song Spit Out the Bone. It's like the best thing they've done in 30 years, probably.
Spit Out the Bones. Okay. Yeah, I still have my Double and Justice for All record upstairs.
Yeah. But Spit Out the Bone sounds like Ride the Lightning Metallica or something. It's pretty fucking badass, man. I love it.
And if you ever buy that, try to get the deluxe set of it. Because, I mean, I don't know if the normal one came on two discs.
It does.
But it came with a third disc that had, like, four previously unreleased, like, songs, you know, that they recorded in there. And then, like, the next 10 were, like, all live tracks that were really fucking good.
Well, yeah, I'm gonna have
pretty
to
cool.
That, I guess I keep. Ugh. Anyway,
just go to the fucking YouTube later and just Google up "Spit Out the Bone." Man, the video is fucking dope.
You can actually go online and find audio of Metallica doing Detroit Rock City. You ever seen that?
I've never seen that.
Yeah, I sent that link to Jody a little while back.
I don't think I got that one.
Okay, so Wicked Lester. Even though they never put a record out, they were huge in rock and roll history. They were so important.
Yeah, in a way, for sure.
You know, if you think about it, even, you know, it put Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons together. Who's even, let me tell you, every Kiss fan, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but every Kiss fan should thank their lucky stars that there was a Steve Cornell.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, he introduced Gene to Paul.
He knew them both, and he put them together, and ta-da, we get Kiss, you know?
Yeah, dude. You got to have it. Otherwise, we probably would have had Kiss. Because if this would have came out and been successful, they would have never probably changed.
Yeah, it would have been...
They would have been like, you know, Jethro Tull made a couple records and faded into obscurity as soon as the Ramones came.
Like Dax Leonard Skinner or something, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. They'd be playing it like on a classic rock kind of deep cuts band show every Sunday at KC.
I just tried to send my son a message that says, come downstairs, and I actually sent it to you, Jody, so you should be getting that any minute.
All right. Long set of stairs there, buddy.
Yeah, it sure is. So, what you know, musically, I have to say that, like I said, the first five songs I really dug, I was into them hardcore.
Yeah, like Simple Type.
What was the first song?
The CD that I have, Simple Type, is the first song, and that's the one that kind of has the riff that's kind of like Charisma.
That's what I heard.
That's probably my favorite on the album.
It's really Beatlesy.
That's killer, man. You know, they did that one live as Kiss at like that. It's on that Daisy tape, I think.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And then that's it goes that one like bleeds right into She, so it's like almost like a two for the price of one.
And I like the version of She, man. As soon as I heard like the tuba,
let me ask you this though: if you weren't a Kiss fan and you heard that She, you think you'd still dig it? Because I think part of digging it's because you already dig it, and it's a weird novelty to hear the flutes and all that.
I'm not sure either.
But I will say Gene's bass sounds pretty badass throughout this whole thing.
Yeah,
I think Jody's right. I mean, I think, you know, that if we would have heard that first, you know, before, you know, hearing it done by Kiss first, you know, I think we'd have a completely different outlook on those songs, you know, that they did.
Yeah. Who knows where we'd be musically if it wasn't for Kiss? If Kiss was never around, what would, you know?
No telling.
Man, I mean, my mom force-fed me Barry Manilow and shit like that, so.
I'd probably be listening to stupid crap like Vanilla Ice and MC Hammer and shit.
Dang.
Yeah.
There. Did you just come to church? Is that what you just did, man? You just got so honest.
Yeah. I got baptized in a rock and roll.
With a Victrola needle. I guess that doesn't work quite as well. But yeah. I think that She sounds pretty decent. You know, I mean, for what it is, it's kind of cool to hear it in such a funky way, you know? I like, though, that the ending is exactly the same as, like, on Dress to Kill, where it finally resolves to the E.
When you listen to it and it goes into the solos, do you hear Aces playing?
Oh, it's ingrained in me for sure.
Yeah.
I hear it in my head because it's like, that's what you expect it to be, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, you're listening to all this in the background, but yet you're hearing Ace playing along with it, you know?
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I was doing the same thing.
What'd you think of the Lover All I Can version?
Oh, I
liked
it.
Believe it or not, I mean, for the era, you know, I mean, I think it was a great, you know,
it's very play funky. Of
doing it, you know, for back then.
Yeah, that one severely lacks Ace leads too, but it's still pretty cool. It has like a groove, you know. I like that. I've always liked that little bass line. It's cool. It kind of reminds me of Hendrix. Kind of a fire, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, I was like, I didn't really hear, I don't know. I can't imagine that when they were recording this stuff, that they envisioned themselves sounding heavier. I don't know, man. I'm listening to this, and I'm going, how did Kiss come out of this? You know, how...
Well, like, if you listen to, like, that Simple Type on that Daisy or whatever, you know, you can find it on YouTube. It sounds like Kiss, you know what I mean? Without all the other people playing. And what's interesting, though, is, like, if you listen to the Wicked Lester shit, you know how everyone was always like, these guys can't play? They were, like, as good as, like, one of those fucking Steely Dans or whatever, wouldn't you say? In Wicked Lester?
Oh, yeah.
It's interesting, though, that as soon as they became Kiss, it's just so much, I don't know, like sloppier and more bad. It's way better, but it is sloppier and simpler,
It is It is. It's more raw.
Yeah, raw. That's a better word than sloppy.
Yeah, it's like the Wicked Lesser stuff was more orchestrated, you know, and... No, Grant, and everything
yeah.
more than what Kiss was. Kiss was more, you know, came out more like fly by night, you know, off the seat of your pants, you know, to where Wicked Lester was more organized and choreographed almost in a way, you know.
Well, yeah. We can't be super objective because all we've heard is studio recordings too, though, you know.
Yeah. Hey, listen, my kid just walked in, and he's about to go to bed. Say hello, Jace.
Hi.
Hey, Jace.
Hey, buddy.
He can hear you. Tell everybody Kiss rules.
It does.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Hope you had a Merry Christmas, Jace.
He had a great Christmas. All right, good night, buddy. Love you.
Good night.
Everybody says good night. He's waving. Anyway.
A little cameo from Jace. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't think have I ever had him on. I don't think I've ever had Jake.
I don't think so.
Let me tell you, when I used to own my own club, I used to, of course, play Kiss on the PA before the club opened. Yeah. And Jace used to get on stage and sing Rock and Roll All Night. Cool. And he was probably 3 or 4 at the time. And then, you know, when Paul, in the live version, when he says, what? Jace always knew it, and he would do it. What?
That's great.
That was pretty funny.
I love yes, that kid. Part.
I really wish that... is a recording of them live, you know.
Yeah, I'd like to hear something like that. I've never heard any the closest you get's that, you know, the Daisy shit, I think. And that's not obviously not it has Ace and Peter, so.
Yeah, you would think that there would be something.
There may be, but they perceive that there's zero interest cuz they don't like it and it never came out and they want to basically bury it, you know. Interesting though that them that they, you know, were kind of hard up for material for Dress to Kill, and they went back to this shit. You know what I mean? I'm glad they did, because it's two of my favorite songs.
Yeah, and the other thing is one of the things in Wikipedia that it talks about is how Casablanca bought the tapes.
Yeah, because they didn't want them to, put it out and make Kiss seem fucking crazy. And yeah. They didn't want the pictures of Paul and Gene to surface without makeup, you know? Makes sense. Man, there was one song on here that when they started it sounds just like the Elder Paul. I can't remember which one it is though.
It might have been the second to last song.
Might have been.
Yeah, and there's a lot of high, you know, yes, it was Elder Paul. I heard it too. you know, but it also reminded me a little bit of Peter's solo record. Huh?
Yeah.
I don't know why that's the kind of one, Papa. You know that.
Yeah, well, some of those ones that were written by other people are kind of like soulish, like Peter's stuff. What do you think of "Keep Me Waiting"? It's very like, it's like post Beatles, but like I guess maybe like Wings or something. I love the way it sounds. I'm not a big fan of most of that kind of stuff, but for that era and what they're trying to go for, I think it's fucking great.
Yeah.
That's just cool sounding.
Isn't that the one where he says "shout it out loud"?
No,
"shout it out loud."
That's the different one.
Yeah, that one's by the Hollies. "We Want to Shout It Out Loud." Yeah, Gene sounds like classic Gene on that, like his solo album, or even like "We Are One." You know,
one thing I really found weird with the whole album though too was in a lot of the songs they kind of had like that old doo-wop sounding like background vocals. Yeah. To it, you know, which was I found really weird, you know.
I like it though.
Well, I didn't say it was bad, I just said I found it kind of weird. Yeah. You know, because I mean, again, it goes back to the whole fact of us already being Kiss fans and then going back in time to listen to them then.
Yeah,
you know, it's the image is already imprinted on in us, you know, of what they should be like, what they should sound like, and then hearing that just kind of throws you for a loop, you know.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I think it's cool, though, to hear them pre-Kiss, just because I'm such a Kiss geek. It's kind of cool to hear where they came from.
You can just see how they evolved, you know? Yeah. It's cool to see how they started off and then compare it to what they are now, you know?
Totally. Suppose in some weird alternate reality, this album, what if they just did these songs, maybe with Peter and Ace, but what if they just did these songs, more or less how they are arrangement-wise, and that was the first Kiss album. What do you think that would have resulted in?
That's so hard to decide because, okay, first of all, their first record, even with the kick-ass material, right, that we love so much today,
yeah.
I think Paul said only sold like 60,000 copies.
True.
You know, so when people say that, you know, oh, the makeup was a gimmick, it didn't even, I'm not sure that that attracted, how many out of the 60,000 went, hey, look at these guys' faces. I got to hear what this sounds like. How many would you say? If you had to guess, like half?
Maybe about half.
I'd say like 80%.
Really, more? You think 80%?
Well, if you've never heard of them and you just saw that, you know, in the store, what other reason besides the makeup would you even be interested in it?
Yeah. I was just in my head while we're talking, like just as quick as this, I go, man, that was back when we used to like try records. We didn't let the radio stations tell us what we were supposed to listen to.
Yeah. Well, I've always been that way. Still am.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So 80% went by the record cover. So if they would have got, so I guess the question is, if that record would have come out and people would have seen that picture on the front, they would have purchased 80% of the 60,000, which is gonna, you know, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot of people out of the 60,000. That bought it without hearing a lick, okay? If they would have heard what the music would have been like from Wicked Lester, I don't think they would have bought record number two.
I don't either. But you never know because, I mean, that the stuff sounds somewhat competitive to what was popular at the time, more than the Kiss record did, you know?
Sure do. You know, but there's also a chance that, you know, that out of the, so for every 1,000, there's 800. So we're talking about 56,000 out of the 60,000. No, that's not right. I'm trying to use my math skills. I'm usually really good at this, but it's late. Anyway, you know, how many of their
abacus?
Yeah, how many of their friends would have been like, hey, you know, you really like the Mamas and the Papas. You should hear Kiss.
Right. You know, Jethro Tull? Well, check these guys out. They're local and sound just like it. I don't fucking know. I don't think people would have latched on. But like you said, they didn't latch on to the first Kiss album. And it's, to us, like, you know, a holy grail kind of thing.
I'm pissed off that I fucked up that math. It's like 42,000.
There you go.
I want to say 800 for and 60,000, so 8 times 6 is... Damn!
Where's your girlfriend when you need her?
Great. Anyway.
But anyways, yeah.
Even editing that out. I want that to stay in so people can see I don't know fucking math. All
right.
My brain.
I think, though, that for what it is and for the time that it was intended for, it's not so bad. It's weird, though, because of all the, like, stuff that Paul and Gene were into, this really doesn't sound like any of it. You know what I mean? Like, Paul loved The Who, Led Zeppelin, Jeff Beck, you know, who else? Mott the Hoople and Humble Pie, obviously. To me, none of this sounds like that. All this stuff sounds like, I can't even explain, like, describe the sound I'm thinking of. But since New York, at the time, was such a melting pot of different cultures and everything... Like the music from New York, not necessarily like the pre-punk shit, like the Dolls or like, you know, Bratz and all that kind of stuff, but just regular music, it all was kind of funky and like a mix between R&B, like soul and rock, you know what I mean? And that's what this shit's like. It's just like a New York thing. I mean, even if you look at Eric Carr's old band, same thing, kind of funky, but still rock and roll, but still soul and like R&B mixed in. So I think that's part of like, the culture of New York for the time. So I think they fit in perfectly and we're probably could have probably done something for a couple of years as Wicked Lester, but then I think it would have faded out just like the rest of that shit did as soon as punk rock happened, you know? But I think that for what it is, it's not so bad. It's just not necessarily what you want as a Kiss fan, you know?
Yeah. When when you were talking about that, you think that it's 80% bought the record, you know, simply, you know, the first Kiss record simply by looking at the cover, you know, I think that what we're when we're talking about how, you know, how would the record have done or how would they have done, you know, out of that 48,000 people that, you know, I honestly, now that I've been sitting here really thinking about it, I don't know. It would have, I mean, nobody would have bought that record thinking it was going to sound like Jethro Tull, right?
Huh. I don't think a lot of people really knew what they would have expected it to sound like.
That's true, too, because there'd never been anything like that. A lot of people, you've even heard those stories where people thought maybe like these clowns had a comedy album or some shit.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. The guy that took the pictures thought they were trying to be funny.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they brought the balloons to the photo shoot, supposedly, right?
Yeah. You know, I actually experienced this exact, you know, that exact thing, you know, with my band. You know, we were hockey, well, I'm not playing anymore, but we wore hockey masks and we played this, like competition. And, you know, it was really strange because I'm driving down the road, I'm listening to Paul, and he's talking about how every time they got on stage, you know, there was laughing or snickering in the front until people realized they were serious and they won the crowd over. And I have to say that this happened to me every single time we got on stage because people didn't know, you know, we're there, we are wearing hockey masks. We were dressed all the same, you know, and I was really thinking about it. I was like, man, this is so cool because I really felt like I experienced that exact same thing.
That feeling.
Yeah. And we were in this competition one time where we had to play, we played like second to last. There was a label, supposed label there, you know, and we went on stage and, you know, we were kind of filler until we got off the stage. You know, it was the same, you know, we weren't nearly as, you know, bombastic as a Kiss show, but it was energetic. You know what I mean? Very energetic. You can't follow that band that, you know, and we got off stage and the guy from the company walked right over to us and he goes, I want to talk to you guys. And we went outside and the guy said, you know, I love the music, but I'm not buying the hockey mask. You look different than you sound. And our singer looked at him and went, Kiss doesn't sound the way they look either.
Right.
It was really weird that he brought Kiss up because he's not a huge fan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. But the relationship's there.
Yeah. So, you know, people listening with their eyes, like Paul always, you know,
yeah, totally,
talked about. I mean, I wish I would have sold 60,000 records. The whole thing is really bizarre, you know. There's all the what ifs, and you know what I mean. And I'm looking at the pictures of them now, and I'm thinking about the music that I listened to tonight, and I'm going, nah.
Nah, I mean, it could have maybe done something for a couple of years, but that's about it. That whole music scene died when punk rock happened, you know what I mean? So it was dated already. It was, like, doomed to go away, no matter what they did, if it wasn't Kiss. So thank God they, you know, stripped it back, made it heavy, and gave it an image and a show, because that's what we're all about.
Yeah, and Paul started talking about they were turning up their amps till they couldn't take the power anymore, so they could hear the distortion. And
yeah, it's so cool. I love that whole early point of Kiss when they're getting it together. It's so cool.
Yeah, it took time. But
so if you had to pick a favorite track, could you do that?
Okay,
it can't be the Kiss ones.
Can't be anything off. I like the first song.
Yeah, Simple Type. It's great because you get Paul and Gene. It's like a classic.
Yeah,
Kiss.
They were both singing in it. Yeah. Gene sang it mostly, right? And Paul sang like the
Paul
chorus.
Paul sings like the chorus, yeah, and Gene does the rest. It's pretty badass. And
you D-Rock.
That's probably my favorite, too. D-Rock, you awake?
Yeah, I'm here. I really liked their track Ophelia. I mean.
Oh, yeah?
It was a complete different sound, you know, than what you would expect, you know, and They did a really great job on it, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, it kind of reminded me a little bit of that one older song. I can't remember who did it or what the name of it was, but it's the one, you know, Jody, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's like, I'm your captain, you know, fucking whatever.
Oh, yeah. Grand Funk.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it kind of reminded me of that song, you know, but I mean, I liked it because it was just well done. You know, I really liked it. But I still like Love Her All I Can was still like my favorite one out there.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
The Kiss ones, yeah, the to Kiss a Kiss fan are always going to stand out.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, let me ask you guys this then. Do you feel that as a Kiss fan, this is essential listening to like a hardcore Kiss person?
I do now. You know, before I was like, always like, I just don't see the point of it. And, you know, now that I've listened to it, I'm more or less going, it almost is like, it's almost like not knowing, you know, or being an adopted person and finding out who your parents are.
I haven't gone down that road yet. I mean, because I am adopted.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Okay, but you see my point. You know, wanting to know where you come from, you know, this is where they came from. You know, this is what they left behind.
Yeah.
I agree.
To risk it again.
Yeah, they wanted to be the antithesis of Wicked Lester, and that became Kiss. So we got to have Wicked Lester to show them what they didn't want to be, you know?
I mean, I agree that it should be, listening material for any Kiss fan, you know, just so they can understand where the band came from, you know, and how they started and what a lot of where a lot of their style comes from as far as Gene and Paul, you know.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, to be able to understand, you know, the band Kiss a little bit better musically, you know, I think that this should be mandatory listening, you know, for Kiss fans, you know, just so they could get a better picture and a better understanding of, you know, Kiss musically.
Definitely. I think that that's totally true, but I think that anyone that's interested in Wicked Lester should first become a Kiss fan, because if you listen to Wicked Lester first, I don't think it's going to work for you. You know what I mean? But if you, like you said, if you're going back to see the roots, it's a totally different perspective, and you kind of need it to, I couldn't do this. Like, if this was just some album, there's no way.
Yeah. If somebody would have handed it to me and said, you should check this out, I probably would have gotten through the first. Although I like the first song, but still, you know, God, it's like Paul and Gene ruin whether or not I would like it with, you know, not knowing who they are. Because as soon as I hear them, I'm going, oh, this is cool because it's them.
Right.
You know, and.
So out of five, what you going to give it?
I'll give it a strong 3.
Yeah? What about you, D-Rocker?
I'd probably give it about I'm with him about a strong 3 or a low 4.
Damn. See, for me, I go like a 2.5. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I like it, but it's not something I listen to a lot.
Well, I mean, I'll actually probably listen to it a couple more times just so I can, because I really kind of rush through it. I'm listening to it and I'm not really like mentally breaking down what I'm listening to, you know?
Yeah.
You know, except for that first song, you know, when you hear those riffs that you're recognizing from Kiss songs, you know?
Yeah.
Those jump out at you. Boom. They smack you right in the face. You're going, oh, I know this. It feels like home, you know? And then, so most likely the next time I listen to it will be on a drive where I can really focus on what I'm listening to. But yeah, I gave it a strong 3.
Yeah.
So that's our Wicked Lester discussion, right? You got any more questions about that, Jody?
No more questions about Wicked Lester. Go out and check it out if you haven't. That's about it.
Yeah, I will post on podcastrockcity.com. I'll make a page that's just Wicked Lester Record. Go there if you have. You know what? I don't even have to do that. Just go to YouTube, type in Wicked Lester.
Yeah, it's there.
You can listen to it.
Oh, yeah. So you guys want to get into this?
Sweet 16?
Podcast Rock City Sweet 16.
All right, Sweet 16! Yes! Sweet 16!
What are we waiting for?
Let's stop this pussy footing around.
Oh, yeah!
Right?
Sweet 16! All right, listen!
All right, so we're going to do a Sweet 16, and since we've been neglecting Ace and Peter so long, this one is going to be about the Ace versus Peter song, Sweet 16, meaning the ones they sang in Kiss.
Okay.
So no solo album shit, just the Kiss ones.
No solo albums. Oh, God, what did you do?
I was going to say, that's kind of one-sided, isn't it?
Well, that's why I think it might be a little bit shocking, because when they stack up this way, I think that Peter has a chance, dude.
Yeah, there's a chance. All right, here we go. I'm ready.
Okay. Our first Sweet 16 of 2017.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Okay, so the first little matchup is Hooligan versus Rocket Ride.
Oh, I see how this is going now. I pick Hooligan.
D-Rock?
That's tough.
It ain't for me, but what do you got?
This is going to be a bastardized Sweet 16. I'm going with Hooligan.
You guys are fucking crazy.
Good God. We just shoved Jody down the stairs when he was trying to...
Rocket Ride, come on. But I'll accept it in the name
of... But I love Hooligan, man.
I do too, but Rocket Ride, come on.
Good.
Yeah, they're both great, but Rocket Ride's better. My opinion, obviously. All right, so how about 2000 Man versus Baby Driver?
I'm going with 2000 Man.
I'm going with Baby Driver.
I'm going Baby Driver, too. It's better than 2000 Man. Plus, it's an original, in a way.
Man, Peter is taking two in a row.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
All right, well, how about Strange Ways, the song, versus Hard Times?
I'll go with Strange Ways.
I agree.
So will I. Another Peter. You know what I'm saying? It's shocking. It'll shock the people. How about Save Your Love versus Getaway?
You already know my answer to that one, Jody.
Yes, I do. What about you, though, Joe? Save it.
Yeah, okay. Getaway.
Yep, Getaway has to win, because that chorus will give you migraines and Save Your Love. How about Hard Luck Woman versus Shock Me?
Shock Me. I don't have to think about that. And I love Hard Luck Woman, but
against Shock Me, you can't beat it. All right, well, Dark Light versus Mainline.
Oh man, is Peter gonna like wipe Ace out? Man?
I don't know.
I like Dark Light, but
yeah, for me, I'd have to go Mainline, dude. Dark Light's great, but I always prefer the early Kiss.
Yeah, I'm going Mainline. Crap, what is happening?
Where would you?
You're leaving it to me, aren't you?
Nope. All right, we already Mainline already took it. But what would you have went with?
Mainline.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a better song, point blank. How about Talk to Me versus Dirty Livin'? Dynasty version of Dirty Livin'.
Yeah, I'm going with Talk to Me.
D-Rock?
I agree.
Yes.
I agree with Joe.
I would have as well. Talk to Me is one of those great Ace ones as far as I'm concerned. One of my favorites.
Yeah.
How about this one's probably a little too easy. How about Torpedo Girl versus Black Diamond?
Black Diamond.
Obviously. Again, you know my answer to that one.
Torpedo Girl is cool, but Black Diamond's one of the all-time great Kiss songs, no matter who sang it, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. All right, so we've advanced to round two.
Only like two Ace songs in there, man.
It's crazy, dude. How about Hooligan versus Baby Driver?
Hooligan.
Hooligan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I would have went Baby Driver. That's all right. How about Strange Ways versus Getaway?
Getaway.
Strange Ways. Ooh, Jody's going to split this one.
Well, even though, you know...
I like Strange Ways, but Getaway just grabs me more.
Strange Ways is a great one, and it's got one of my favorite Ace leads, but I like Getaway better. I'm the Dress to Kill dude. You know what I mean? I can't get away from it. This one's too easy, though. Shock Me versus Mainline.
Yeah, Shock Me. Yeah,
Shock Me.
Obviously. Okay. Talk to Me versus Black Diamond.
Black Diamond.
Black Diamond.
Yeah. Okay, we're down to the final four here. We got Hooligan versus Getaway.
Hooligan.
I'm going Getaway.
As am I.
Okay.
Sorry about that, Joe.
It's okay.
This one's tough, dude. This is probably what I thought it would come down to, but it won't. But Shock Me versus Black Diamond.
Damn.
Dang, man.
Both, like, super epic tunes.
Gotta be Black Diamond, right? I mean...
I probably go Black Diamond.
I'm going with Black Diamond too.
Yeah.
Okay, well then it's just all too obvious, man. In the last round, we got Getaway and Black Diamond.
Black Diamond.
All day long.
Yeah. Day long.
Man, now here's something, you know, that's very important. Out of all the A songs, how many did he write?
All of them except 2,000.
How many did Peter write?
Well,
I'm just saying.
Yeah,
we're really comparing Paul songs.
Well, the one that won was a Paul Stanley written song.
That's what I'm saying.
But still, if it wasn't for Peter's great vocal, you know.
Yeah, he's great vocal in that song, man.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been the same had like Paul.
I'm gonna go upstairs and put the video on as soon as I'm done here with you guys.
So Black Diamond wins the Ace versus Peter Sweet 16.
Wow, that is shocking.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, thank you for that, Jody.
Because when you think about it, it's like Ace versus Peter. You think, Ace got this in the bag, you know? But didn't shake out that way. Strange.
But then again, that wasn't really completely Ace against Peter. It was Ace songs that he sang compared to... Peter Criss songs that he sang, you know, that weren't written exactly by.
No, but even in Peter sang some of these Peter songs are Ace Frehley songs.
Right.
Getaway, yeah. Strange Ways.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Well, you know, I want to know what you guys think. Tell us how we went wrong or where we went wrong. PodcastRockCity1@gmail.com. You can send that email and I'll forward it to Jody because... He did this. I'm not getting yelled at. Anyway, listen, don't forget to go to podcastrockcity.com and check out the webpage and check out our premium stuff. It's only 99 cents a month or $9.99 for an entire year. I'm going to do some I just put a video up of the place I work, and I showed all the KISS stuff that's in there and or all that's left. My buddy that I work for, he and I grew up together, and he has tons of KISS stuff, but it's almost all sold now. The coffin's gone.
And you put that all up for sale.
Yeah, now, so the pinball machine is still there. Oh, I got to play the new pinball machine.
It's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, did you see the video that I put video on Twitter?
No, I haven't been on there in a couple days.
I'll have to put it on. My buddy Doug, who's the guy I work for, he told me, hey, we found the new KISS pinball machine. It's at a Taco Mac restaurant. So Karen and I were home the other day, and I said, hey, I want to go somewhere to the damn restaurant to play. We walked in. She's like, why are we here? And I'm like, oh, I don't want to say yet. And then she goes, hey, look, there's the KISS pinball machine. And she went, oh.
Of course.
And she played, too. She played. Yeah, we had a good time, man. It was pretty crazy.
I think it's cool because it's so loud. Like, the music's loud. Badass.
See, this one, it wasn't real loud.
Really?
And you know, it used to be when you won a free game, there was a knock. You remember the knock?
Yeah.
Now it makes this chirp noise.
Really? I don't think I won any free games.
Yeah, I won a few. It's kind of like, it's kind of like almost like a really quick feedback, derp, and it was annoying. I actually thought I broke the machine. I might have it. I might have it recorded, but I'll have to find it and make it like a little thing that goes on our show this Wednesday. Oh, that reminds me, don't forget, this Wednesday on KGFRocks.com, you get KISS Tunes and KISS Talk. I said that backwards. KISS Talk and KISS Tunes with Jody and I, 8:30 at night, KGFRocks.com, 8:30 Eastern Time. We play KISS music and chat about KISS, and next week we have a guest. Let's see. I want to read the thing here. It says, we have former road crew for KISS, Alice Cooper, STP, current self-published author and filmmaker, Ken Barr. You've interviewed Ken before, haven't you, Jody?
Yeah, Ken was on Strange Ways once. It was a good episode.
We'll do that, you know, see where that takes us. If you listen to the last show when we had Bill Starkey on, you know, hearing the stories about being around them and being around Kiss is really where it's at, man. I enjoy that so much passion, and you know, in the story. So I really can't wait for this.
Oh yeah, he's got some good ones, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's it. Jody, you got anything to add?
I would add Happy New Year. Thank you so much for listening. I'm looking forward to a whole new year of PRC. I hope you are too. Sorry we're one day late here because of New Year's, but we'll be on track the rest of the year. Thank you so much.
Yes, absolutely. And D-Rock, what you got to add?
I just want to tell everybody Happy New Year, and I'd love to see if anybody could send an audio of their best impersonation of me, since you said people were trying to do impersonations.
Oh, yeah, I like that
idea. I think maybe we should hold a little contest on who can do the best D-Rock impersonation, since everybody used to try to say fucking shit. You know, let's see what we can get to say.
All right, I will tell you what. go to our Facebook page, post a video of you doing a D-Rock. Whoever does the best, I'll take the top three, and I'll give you one month, let's see, third place and second place will get a month free premium stuff on Podcast Rock City. Number one, first place, the best, and D-Rock will be doing the he'll be doing the judging, and if we get any, and first place will get a full year of premium membership on Podcast Rock City. How does that sound?
Sounds great. I'm gonna start practicing.
Thank you very much for listening, man.
You're not eligible. It's your family. You can't.
Damn it.
Thank you guys for listening. You know, another year of doing this. You know, like I said, I was sitting, you know, years back with some friends. I said, man, we should do a Kiss podcast. They bailed on me, but I'm still here, and I got two great friends, and I've had more friends doing the show with me, and I appreciate it every single time. And you know what else? I love podcasts, and I listen to a lot of them, and I listen to a lot of Kiss podcasts, and you're going to hear all their commercials right after the show in 3, 2, 1.
Peace. You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. Your place for all things Kiss and some. For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
All right, Kiss Army. Since 2007, you've been getting podcasts. The KISS audio fanzine for your ears.
That's right, it's your podcast. Every month, the podcast crew, along with the KISS Room, brings you KISS talk like no one else, whether it be roundtables, interviews with the band past and present, analysis, and great KISS fun.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to PodKISS.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to PodKISS.
The PodKISS, the KISS audio fanzine for your ears.
History Science Theater, the most civilized.
Yeah. Oh,
come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with like a washed up bass. Boom, 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 boom.
And serious.
No, wait. Excuse me, Bob. You're gonna come over and do my album.
Kiss podcast on the web. History Science Theater. We bust balls because we can.
Hey everybody, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast. And if you love this...
then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll and it's always free.
Sitting around with time to kill.
Ladies and gentlemen, do you like metal, punk rock, hardcore, and cracking jokes about being a fan? Yes? Then check out Music the Lifeblood, the podcast that goes deep into the core of being a fan with new music from badass bands, band and genre discussions, along with in-depth interviews from some of punk, metal, and hardcore's titans. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Tumblr, and Facebook. Something old, something new. What are you listening to?
Music, the lifeblood. Baby, you know it's only you and me.